It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM.
Good morning, Sam.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Are you glad to have some company today?
I am. You're my first in-studio guest.
That's
and
me.
And it's real nice, I've got to say.
So today, we're doing The Sinner Season 2.
Yeah.
Because Season 1... Been there, done that. That was last year.
I actually really liked season one, I've got to say.
I didn't finish it. You know this about me. I didn't finish it. But I need to. Like, there was nothing wrong with it that I didn't finish it. I just, life got in the way, you know?
Yeah.
Things are happening. Stuff
but
is
it's
going
obviously
on.
Not like your most favorite if it wasn't like.
No. Well, I have a big problem in that when I watch a TV show with someone that I already know, I can't get them out of my head. Like, I think of Jessica Biel as like a rom com star.
Yeah.
So seeing
it's
him
strange,
at this one on the beach,
it?
I was like, oh, I don't know, like when is Ryan Gosling going to come
really
in and sweep her off
like,
her feet,
know.
You know? Like, but she was really good in that show, and she's executive producing season two now, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
So she's still around, she's just not on screen.
Mm-mm.
The Sinner season two is an entirely different story with one of the same characters. So Detective Ambrose, who was the detective from her season, is now tackling a new mystery.
Yeah.
Like another why done it as opposed to who done it mystery. Because that's what The Sinner bases itself around is like not... Because the cases are all open and shut cases. Like they're all a murder that everyone knows who did the murder and how it happened. But it's why did this person murder this person? Because in The Sinner season one, it was... she randomly killed a guy on the beach in front of her family. And it was because there was some drugs and there was some... like sex club stuff. I don't know. I didn't actually finish it. But
it was very vague until the last like episode or two episodes.
Yeah, but basically, she was like mentally like effed up from some stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that's what is happening this season, I think, I assume. Basically, this kid Julian is traveling to Niagara Falls with his family and they have some car trouble. How come every horror film starts with car trouble?
Always.
And they go to a motel. There's another motel. And basically, he brings them some tea the next morning and they drink it and they both are poisoned and die. And like this is like no spoilers because this is what the show's all about.
Yeah.
So don't freak out, guys. but yeah, so he kills his parents and it's pretty open and shut. The police turn up. They're like, oh, well, this kid, 13-year-old, killed his parents. He admits to it. He says that he did it. He says like how he did it. And they're like, okay, sweet. But then obviously Detective Ambrose is known for figuring out the why of the crime, not just who. And it delves into this huge new mystery. New cast members, you've got Carrie Coon, who is from Fargo and The Leftovers. So apparently she's just, I haven't seen either of those shows, I'm so, so sorry. But apparently she's amazing in both of them, and she is amazing in this show as well.
Yeah.
She plays Vera Walker, who is the head of this utopian commune community thing. So very wild, wild country, if you think of that, like that kind of vibe. And then you've also got Nellie Paul, who I haven't seen her in anything. I don't think she's actually known from most... from lots of stuff, but she plays Detective Heather Novak, who is the detective of the town that they're in, basically.
So and does she work alongside Detective Ambrose?
Yeah, she asks for his help. He's a family friend of theirs, and she's like this young, multiracial lesbian cop in a small town. So she's a really cool character as well. And she asks for Ambrose's help because he knows how to solve.
So Ambrose had his own kind of storyline in the first season. Do they dive into that as well, or is it kind of separated into?
Well, I mean, they definitely do. So both the detectives have their own, like, backstory that you are, like, getting hints at. Because that's what they did in season one as well. You could see he had that weird masochistic sex stuff that he was doing.
Yeah.
In this season, he's having flashbacks of, like, a fire. But that's, like, all you get so far is that there's a fire. There was some sort of fire in his life.
So how many episodes are you in deep?
I've done two and there's eight, but there's only... two out at the moment, I think, or three out. So it's not all out yet. Because it's doing every week, not all at once, which is so annoying.
For someone like you who just loves a binge watch.
Loves a binge. But yeah, so with Ambrose, it's his hometown as well. So he's dealing with his childhood trauma. Detective Novak's dealing with a friend of hers who basically she lost to the commune. Like she doesn't know where she is and she thinks she's part of the commune now. And the commune is creepy as. And that's where Julian's from.
Always is.
So Julian and his parents, because we don't actually know if they're his parents or not, are from the commune.
Okay.
And they were either trying to escape, we think, or, well, at this point, in two episodes in, you think they're trying to escape or something else. So there's really...
I feel like this is a classic algorithm for a mystery where it's just like, I don't actually really know what's going on, but it seems like this.
Well,
I don't know.
Here's what I think. I think with these shows, what they do is they get like three different writing teams and they all give them the first scene. And then go, now explain why it happened. And then they just choose the best script.
Yeah.
Because, like, It feels like with these shows, like, no one knows what's going on. And obviously they do, because they filmed the end as well. They edit it all together. But like, it just feels like everyone's like, oh, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Oh, he's drawing some pictures now. And you're like, oh, this is so scary. But this kid is so creepy. Like, he plays demented, mentally effed up child.
So is he in anything else?
He played, oh my God. So there was the show Alex Inc., which was an awful show that only lasted 5 episodes. It was Zach Braff doing a comedy about podcasting, and it was like as if podcasting was still cool and new, even though it's like 5 years old. And he played his son in that, and it's all he's ever been in. But that wasn't important. It's really a weird reference that I know.
Yeah.
But the kid is actually really, really good. His name's Julian. His actor's name is like Glenn Enig or something. He's got like an adult name. But he's like super, super cool. And he just like does the same thing Jessica Biel did last season, where he like stares off into the distance and kind of makes weird noises and cries a lot. But he's more convincing because he's not like a known actor, I think.
Yeah.
And I think like a kid killing their parents is a lot scarier than maybe an adult woman killing someone.
I feel like with the first season, it wasn't necessarily that it was a horror or scary. It was that it was like shocking scenes, really graphic, shocking.
Well, yeah, so horrific. that's how they pitched the first season. Like, that's how I first heard about it, was that there was all these articles being like, this Netflix show will make you feel so gross, or this Netflix show is so gruesome, people can't watch it.
It was pretty gross. Like, the first episode was quite gross.
And that's what I mean. But this season, from what I've heard of, because I read a few reviews about, like, people that have seen the whole thing, or, like, have seen most of it, they were like, this season's not gruesome at all. It's just, like, mentally terrifying, which is what I think is way cooler, because sometimes like blood and gore just kind of gets like corn syrup, sweet, we get it, like you know, like there's some disconnect between like lots of blood and actually being a scary TV show, and I think this show is genuinely visually stunning, very scary, and the character of Vera Walker, played by Carrie Coon, is just, she just has this like stoic silence, and like you can tell she's just 10 steps ahead of everyone around her. She's so smart, and she just like, she's just terrifying, and she's just a normal woman wearing like a cardigan.
Yeah.
So that's like really cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So would you recommend this to be something that people will get addicted to?
I think it's better than season one.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that out there. I think from what I've seen so far, the mystery is a lot more interesting.
Mm.
The characters you're seeing on screen are kind of more interesting and have like a cooler backstory. Like I can already see the detective, I forgot her name, Vera and the other detective, the black woman detective, having like some cool, like, I'm a woman from the same small town as you, but like maybe some racism, maybe some that kind of stuff, like playing into it. And Detective Ambrose's story, that I think it's about his backstory as a child, will be a lot more interesting than last season. Like,
his story I thought was a bit weird last season. It was kind of a bit like, oh, he's got this weird thing, but how does it filter into what's going on? It was just kind of like random, but maybe that's because they had planned season two and there was some sort of unfolding mystery with him.
Well, that's true. And I mean, the whole thing this show's about is like, this person is a sinner, but so is everyone else. Like, we're all sinners. And like, that's the kind of overarching message, is that like, no one's necessarily evil, but there's things that we define as evil. That's why people get punished. But like, someone like Detective Ambrose, who has like a weird masochistic sex thing, isn't evil, but someone that murders someone is evil. And like, that kind of sinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that dichotomy between what we think is like a sin and what isn't. And I think that's going to play more into it. And I think, like, seeing his backstory, because this whole show is about why people do things.
Yeah.
That's what is the most interesting part. So seeing why he is who he is. And, like, the detective that calls him in, she became a detective because she was so inspired by him. So why does she become a detective?
Oh,
and, like,
okay.
And why is she so obsessed with the commune? And why, like...
Yeah.
So there's all these really cool plot threads that I want to see tied up. That I guess in season one, when I saw plot threads, they just weren't making any sense to me, so maybe that's why I didn't finish it.
I feel like that was definitely the case in between the different stories that were, and that, to be honest, I didn't really know if they did tie up in the end.
So maybe...
With season one and two, you don't have to have seen season one to watch season two.
Not at all, not at all. So I didn't finish season one. I find season two amazing. I would probably finish season two, which I guess is a weird thing people don't usually do, is finish one season but not the other.
It's kind of like True Detective. Like, you could watch whatever season and whatever time,
and that's what's cool about TV, is you can watch whatever you want to watch. And season two so far seems really cool, and I really recommend it.
Cool.
Purely because kids are scary.
Yeah, kids are scary, terrifying. Cool. Well, thanks, Sam.
No worries. See you later.
See you next week.
Bye.
That was Viewmaster on 95 BFM.